accession number 28753, Reel 2.
Mr. Marshall, Reel 2.
And then, I mean, those tram cars, them days. I used to get. We were on a push bike. I had no push bike. We moved up to Grahamstown. That was in 2 or 3 years. Slum clearance. All the slum clearance was George Street, Covent Garden Street, and side of St. Patrick's School. All that was flattened. And that was built in. And we went up to Grahamstown and I used to get to Grahamstown to Fulham. That's where I worked for a penny, tuppence, right through Grahamstown, right in a tram car. Went right to Fulham. And I called back in Grahamstown, the tram car used to run on a pavement. Because them days, because it was no room, no one was another, and you should turn like that, and it was on the pavement, and you got the toilets was there, and you got on the tram car on the pavement, and then it'd come out.
We were talking before about safety and things like that at work. Was there any trade union?
Well, there was and there wasn't. See, because there was that much casual labour, a lot of casual. Yeah, you're doing good tomorrow, sort of style. I mean, my father, stepfather, Tomlinson used to go and do it. I've seen him walk to Tyne Dock from a town end, because I had no money. The ship in, boat in, to walk for the first morning to Tyne Dock. I didn't have any money for sixpence eight, you know, for the bus fare and the trade fare then days. And I seen when they got there, walked there in the morning, set out at 6 forward for us, just to get the job. And then as soon as the ship was done, that was it, casual labour. Especially in that trade, because the boats used to come in and out with the timber. And that'll be stacked properly, not like nowadays. Yeah, it was perfect. It was like a monument. Air ducts to get dried all out. Nowadays it's just sort of throw all over the shop now. He was a stacker, what I call a stacker. Many times I've took his beard down the docks, you know, and I just took his can of tea down the docks and the.
What other kinds of employment were available at that time in the area?
Let's try and think now. Nothing. There was just ordinary casual labour, ordinary building. Building was always good then. Building was always on there. And the corporation used to do the roads and that. Just
local mines?
Oh, yes. I forget. It was miners. By God, they used to come home dirty, you know. Got a bus at home. Till they got the bus in it. It used to be a tin bus in front of it. Yeah, got a bus.
Did you have any relatives who worked down in the mines?
I got a job. I had a father used to work where I have colliery, and army mates used to work at the pit bar me, but I was on the top, so I was on a buildings. But it's hard work, you know. The only young boys, you know, and they're pushing the trolleys and that doing, you know, it was all mechanic. Sail broad.
What sort of things did you do with your leisure time when you were working?
Being useless, I think. Well, there was nothing. If anybody had a football, oh, they were great. They used to go down the town mower. And if he didn't like it, he used to pick the ball and come over. Pre-retired in an orphan asylum, in Donut Town End. Donut End, that's where the pitch was. Everybody used to crow there on a Saturday afternoon for the football. Rough cinders, it are, not low turf, it is. And it was a big engine wall. It would just be shunting yards over the other side of it. Hell of a size of them shunting yards down the docks, because it was all coal. Coal shunting down.
What other jobs did you do?
Well, when they delivered papers, we used to get a job on a Sunday morning, Sunday papers, for a bit extra put over there, like. And
did you do any of the jobs apart from building?
Well, no.
Did you serve an apprenticeship?
Oh, yes, I got my apprenticeship done.
As a bricklayer?
Bricklayer, aye.
And how long did that take? How long was your apprenticeship?
7 years. 14 to 21, and you had to do as you're told. Because it was an insult when if you got chased. You were hard-tressed. But the way it sticks in your mind, because it helped you. Discipline. Them gaffers is terrible. The old-fashioned gaffers with a watch chain here, and a trilby on, and a whistle. And then it was, watch when you come to the scaffold.
How did they teach you how to lay bricks then? Can you remember what you?
Oh well, there was a little school, Spring Garden Lane. There was a school there for bricklayers, but you just picked it up and the lads them days. They're all old-fashioned blokes, you know. They used to show you how to get on. And then sometimes you might go for them and say, will that wall like that, you know. Used to, that's where you learned it, you more or less learned yourself. Hey, and then when you got 21, you got your time then.
And what happened then when you got your time?
Well, sometimes it chased you. So you start with somebody else fresh, and then...
What happened to you?
Oh, well, the war come on with me. The war started, that's how I got out.
Just before we come to that, were you ever a member of the Scouts or...
Oh, yes, lads or? Sand Street Mission, the Cubs. I always remember that. I used to... Sand Street Mission, I used to go there. What do you call it? Rechabites. Was it the Rechabites or something?
Was that the name of your unit?
That was the name of the school. Rechabites, I think. I was. I used to go there. The mission, Sand Street Mission. That's where I used to come for the trips and that. Rechabites, that was it. That was what I called it. It had a little badge. A Rechabite.
Did you have a uniform?
Oh, no. We sure tear long and out of the back. Tell you, that is the truth, the old truth. I've seen it all.
What sort of activities did you do?
Well, to tell the truth, I just played in the streets on the ground.
In the Cubs?
Well, there was very few of them. They were just coming up, you see. Things were just beginning to get old. Well, you just stopped in the streets and just being a nuisance. That's it.
Did you go on to the Scouts or anything like that?
I went to Boy Scouts. I went on into the Sand Street with some the Boy Scouts. Well, then you were getting a bit more pretty, see? You said, oh, yeah, I'll... But there's a... Rechabites, I remember that, I don't know what it was. And Sand Street Mission, that's where I used to go. That was the Salvation Army, was further down. The Salvation Army used to go there and all, Salvia and Stormy in T Street. It used to be the Citadel, I call it, in Pemberton Street. It used to go there. You were forced to go by your parents. Like, my grandmother, Marshall, he was strict. Have you been in Sunday school? I said, because the Citadel was side down, I used to say. That's what they call it, the Citadel of Salvation Army, Pemberton Street. And him, he was a, you know, them days, I wish reflect this. Them chaps, your father in particular, was strict. His shoes had to be shiny. Coloured tie on. Muffler. What a nut tie there. Creased. Because they only wore them for Saturday night and Sunday. It was in a pawn shop on the Monday morning. Boots polished. And my granddad Marshall, he was strict. He used to have a cup of... I'd put a tea on the hob all the time. And he used to get out like Buckulat on a Sunday. Dead, 12 o'clock. Buck, dead. Dinner on the table, two. The roll of the roost. The woman was pathetic. I mean, my grandmother Marshall, I'll always remember. She had a white hair, lovely white hair. White, all white aprons. Yeah, and she was a kind of fragile in the stook. And then, when they went out on a Sunday, that was a woman's record of job. Do the dinner when it comes in, there's going to be on the table for us. It's very strict, old-fashioned ways, but they were fetched up from years.
When did you join the army then?
10th of October. 1938.
Why did you join the army?
Because I said, you see, the militia was, the war was imminent. Everybody could see that. And the militia, if I didn't join the territory, I'd have to go to the militia for 6 months. Which, when you went in the militia for 6 months, you come out with a suit, you know, a sports coat. Trousers that, but we joined. We were all say we were sent away somewhere. Well, some of us decided to join the territories because if it all happened, we were all together.
You said that you knew war was coming. What made you think?
Crisis was two crises. You see, there was a Czechoslovakia crisis, and another one, Austria crisis when Hitler marched in. See, it was imminent, it was.
How did you get your news? How did you know that these things were going on?
Well, the newspapers, just the wireless, the old-fashioned wireless. And that.
Did you go to the cinema to see the news?
Oh, yeah, you could see a picture every night without seeing the same picture twice. Because there were that many cinemas. The Victoria, the Villiers, the Gaiety. Brumash, the Brumash was the end of the bridge. That's it. You walked across a panel, a footway, and there was a cinema on its own. Outside where the bridge is, the Brumash.
Can you remember what your own feelings were like?
Well,
you thought war was
you
coming.
We were young.
How old were you at this time?
About 19, I think. And we got called away for a fortnight's camp on the 19th of August. I think it was the 19th of August. And we were due to come back the Sunday war was declared. A fortnight's camp and I never got back anymore. That was the longest time I've ever been in.
Just going back to joining the territorials, which unit did you join?
Searchlights. 47th DLI. It was called adapted from infantry from 47th ALI to the searchlights. It was made in a unit, engineers first, then it was converted into artillery. It's time to go on, we've got different batches because the first searchlight in with artillery.
So, what was it when you joined?
It was searchlights.
It was searchlights when you actually joined. What influenced you into joining that particular unit?
Because I just youthful exuberance, is it?
Was there any influence?
I had no doctor to worry about, I had no worries about. We were more or less on our own. Just joined, that's it.
What about friends?
Oh, your friends, well, they had some of them come in. They said, well, we'll all be together. Those comradeship, them days. Not spiteful or anything, like, it was one for all and all for one, sort of style.
Can you remember where you enlisted and how you enlisted?
Right. We were just sitting talk. Like, I said, I was at Parex. And McMahon and one or two more said, well, the militia was on. Well, I was doing a gun in the militia when I was 20, you see. So I said, well, I'm a gun in the militia. I would keep together. Wait, Vince has had a platoon of their own, Pyrex, Seymour, all firms.
Large firms.
All had their own. And you used to get cigarettes sent off the firms when you were abroad. So they kept together that way. Oh, hey, we always got. Well, I didn't smoke, you see. They had cigarettes and parcels come from all the way abroad. You used to get them sent from Parex and beans. They used to get them. Drive being a corporation that he had a platoons.
Do you remember the actual process of enlisting? Do you remember what you did?
Just went in for the usual routine, lined up in the drill hall.
Where's the drill hall at? Can you remember?
Diamonds Road, still there. I worked down there when it was getting built, you know, before the war. And drill hall, and then there was where the police station is now, there was a drill hall there, Garrison Field, in the town centre. That was a Garrison Field. That was another, but they were infantry then, DLIs. All that was that, all drill hall, and then where the police station is. It used to be call it the Garrison Field. That's where all the phone fairs used to be on next to the police station on a Christmas time.
What happened when you went to enlist?
Oh, the usual. I think my little memory was you're in, that's it.
Was there any medical examination?
Oh, I just didn't. That wasn't much. Let's chop your trousers and everything. They used to come along with a stick. Cough. That was it. You passed. And then, I'll always remember, doing at your pension, I said, I'm going to go. I was fairly childish, and the lad next to me was only small, was practicing stroking off, and he missed his shoulder, and he'd be right on a crust. With a rifle. Because he couldn't lift it.
What did the rest of of your family think when you were asked to?
There was no family. Well, I'm speaking the truth. It's just you go, lads. No love felt in here. You just went your own sweet way.
So your parents didn't have a huge influence on you?
Oh, no, nobody cared. See, because you were left on your own too much. See, if to be candid, like, if there was any money, you fetch it in. You went for the pop. Then it was all like, corrupted lately. I mean, many times the rent's been got on a mudder in the boozer, because it was only about fourpence a pint then, yes. See, easy come, easy go. And then we were left on our own, more or less, coming when we like and went because nobody cared. But the police, they were the ones that used to keep you off the streets. Mind the word, they used to keep you with them gloves. I think that lead pellets in the end of the fingers. Yep.
So what happened when you enlisted? What happened?
We just went to the drill hall twice a week, Tuesday and Thursdays, at Tightlands Road.
So you carried on working?
Oh yes, doing your job, and it's territorials. And then my first camp was the 19th of August. That was the first camp, because we used to go on weekend courses.
So how long had you been in before you went on that first camp?
Well, October 38, and then you used to go for weekends with searchlights, see? And then weekends, you go went away on a Saturday morning, come back on a Sunday afternoon, you got two bob, see? That was your pay for the weekend, and I went through two or three camps on a weekend. You had to make your tent while I was maybe learning to drive, and I was picked the generator. Oh, that was my job. Start the generator for the lights, and then I learned to drive in. You see, in there, because we had thorny crops. You just used to pull a lever. Then you used to pull over to the searchlight, and you used to, thorny crops used to have a generator on, till I got these static generators. But I was, I had two car, wagons with generators on. Yeah, you just, like a Vulcan, you used to shift handbrake, shift down, and then you used to switch it on. That was your power. It was 300 yards power. 300 yards of cable in the field. That's thick.
About two inches thick.
All electric. All right through. And then MDS, the spotters, you had two chairs like this. And like a deck chair. You had binoculars, and you used to shoot right, left, and you used to do the searchlight to catch the plane in it. That was the spotters.
So you practiced these in the territorial?
Oh, yes.
Just before we come on to that in a little bit more detail, you started and you mentioned you went on a Tuesday and Thursday evening. What sort of things would you do on an evening?
Just drill. Reading the rules and regulations and
what sort of drill?
Why, just arms drill, you know. Just gym, keep it fit sort of side. What's out there? But you used to get your card marked, I think it was sixpence or a shilling at a time. Well, you used to get it all together.
Were you issued with uniform?
Yes, I got a uniform. I always remember that morning. Oh, you got a new uniform. And I remember I was living in Grainstown then. I wasn't married. And I carried my kid bag down Leachby Road to the terminus, put my kid bag on. He went to Fulwell, to Drill Hall, and we got in the drill hall, reported in. At them SDO buses, they used to stop and park, used to stop side of the station, there used to be a bus station uncovered one. All the buses used to be doing that, where Joseph's was. I don't know. That was it, all the buses used to stop. We got on a blue bus, took us to Ripon, and then took over there, and then that was it, and then settled down, and the war was imminent, coming closer and closer. And then over in church, when war was declared, it one of the little villages, well, we come over at war, and well, we were on a standby all the time then, you see, because we used to fetch the, this for our drum, which is further down, well, we used to guide them in, so if they were weak, you could take some stage which would come in, you know. We used to put the searchlight beam in their direction, and when we went out operating, for them to, otherwise, Catrick and like them, they all got beacons, follow the beacon in, and
so before you went under this camp when war was declared, you've been in about 10 months, something?
Oh, yes.
And how proficient had you become with the searchlights?
Oh, easy. Great. Because my job was easy. I was a number 9.
See, I was just going to ask, how many were there in each?
10.
In each crew?
10 to 12. 10 with a corporal. Without a corporal.
For each searchlight?
For each base, aye. There's two spotters, two operators, driver, I was a driver, and a cook, yeah, a cook, and then, well, and then 10, unit of a 10.
And how many units of 10 were there?
Oh, they were scattered out every, I would say, we were on a north road. Just off the north road, the next one was about 6 mile away, that way, and then another one that way, all mapped out properly, so that any airplane were in there. In fact, we got bombed at Staindrop. That's a gospel truth. We in a number 9, you see. I was on the generator there. See, well, and then got an air raid through the night, and it was severe warning, this one. So they dropped a bomb on there's a long drive up to the farms from the main road, from the church. We were in the middle of there, and the officer says, Charlie Parnaby was my mate, go and say why that bomb's dropped. See? We went out that way, and it was shrapnel. Well, it was still there, I was on our field. But wait a bit. The next morning, he said, come here, some men started, you know, and they were, they said, hey, come here. Here's a hole about 15 to 20 foot down. There'd been another one. We hadn't noticed that one, we noticed the sentry one. But we hadn't noticed the big one. That was only about 300 yards of us. You should see in the hole, on the plain pitch. And that's gospel truth. Swear blind on that one, because the Staindrop did get bombed, fell in there. And there was a centre, we went over that way, because it was red hot when we got there, this is metal. And we thought that was it. So we'll come back, and next one is a cover as well, he was shooting at us. Why not was
I think you were in 386 companies, aren't
you? Yes, right, aye.
How many other companies were there in 47th DLI?
Another three. One from Shields, 387. Another one from Seymour, somewhere. There was four regiment. Four
companies.
Companies formed the regiment.
And how many in each company? How was the company organised?
Well, I'd say, they're all had searchlights, you see, 10, 10, 10, 10, so I'd say about 40 into each regiment, more or less, offhand, because you had to have your crew, so there was 10, 12 in the crew, so you could take it from there, like, and we used to have, we had four stations, and they had four stations. I'll sit a big arc around Dishforth. That was to protect them. Halifax, as you know, Halifax bombers, there.